This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Spike Lee, and the Michael K. Show starts now. 98.7 ESPN.
Thank you, Spike, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show, and we start off with Carlos Correa.
He's on the Mets. Great news.
No, he's not. Oh. No.
I tuned out a few weeks
ago.
Yeah,
no. Well, you shouldn't have. He's now a Minnesota Twin once again.
What the F?
They are finalizing a six-year, $200 million contract with Correa, which means that the Mets had such concerns about his physical ability to play out that long contract that they backed away. Now, if you're a Met fan, listen, I'm not going to sit here and preach. Of course you're upset. Of course you're disappointed. It's one of the best players in baseball. The thing that I don't understand in all of this, maybe Don and Peter could help me, maybe our listeners could help us. Of all the owners in baseball that could absorb a player not living up to his contract because of injury, it would in fact be Steve Cohen.
Right.
Is the injury that terrible that Steve Cohen doesn't think he's going to get anything out of Correa? Because here's the thing that is a little bit confusing to me. So a six-year, $200 million contract with the Twins. And the Mets, they gave him three separate offers, but none of them came close to what the Twins offered him in the end. So the Mets would go 6 years, but it was well under 200. And then they were going to give him the length of the contract that they offered him originally, but that wouldn't be guaranteed. The second part would not be guaranteed. So I guess the Twins, who know him as well as anybody because he played for them last year, think, okay, he could last for 6 years. He's 28 years old. He'll be 34. So in essence, this guy ended up losing over $120 million because of this injury. So, but the thing that, and I don't blame them if they think that this injury is so terrible, you don't want to give money away. But if there's any owner that thinks, well, I could get 5 years out of him, and if the other $150 million is a wash, what's the big deal? I'm Steve Cohen.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Michael. It ends up being 6 years, $200 million to Minnesota.
Right.
And according to reports, the Mets' last offer was 6 years at, what, 157.5?
Yeah, yeah.
So you're willing to go the six. So you're just not willing to spend that much more money in that six-year contract that the Twins are willing to pay. So
see, that's where you lose me, though, Don.
Yeah.
For Steve Cohen, right. Why wouldn't you go to 205 and beat the Twins?
Wait, that's my point, Michael, is that if you're concerned, well, I think this guy is going to break down, say, after 4 years of the contract. So I'll be willing to go six, but I don't think I can go longer than that because I don't want to eat that much of the contract. So you're willing to go the same six as Minnesota. You allow the Minnesota Twins to beat you out by $42.5 million. Like, he's not willing to eat possibly $42.5 million after where he was prepared to spend $800 million if the original Correa deal went through and he passed his physical. It just seems odd to me that now you decide to have a budget after you've teased your fans that you're going to have him play third base for the next, what would have been 12 years. Then ends up getting scaled down to six. I think every Met fan felt like they were going to win this battle. They lose it. So I think it's a big disappointment. And why now the budget? Why now are you not cool with possibly eating $42.5 million when you were willing to give this guy a 12-year contract and possibly spend $800 million?
But isn't it possible, Don, that they're either A, legitimately really concerned with the injury, and or B, turned off by the fact that it just sort of came out and they didn't know?
Well, they did know because the Giants backed away from the deal. That's how the Mets got into the bidding.
Then what changed from?
Because then they did their physical and they said, you know what? The Giants are right.
See, but to me, Peter, for Steve Cohen, where money doesn't seem to be an object, you should be more concerned with the years on the deal than the actual money involved in the years. That I get. Like, I don't want to pay a guy 2 or 3 years and he's not going to play for me. But if you're willing to give him six, then why wouldn't you go the extra mile and match or exceed a little bit Minnesota's deal to make sure you lock down this player? If they weren't willing to go to more than five, then I'd understand it more, right, Michael? Then you're dealing with years. I don't think he's going to last that long. But if you're still willing to go six for 157.5, if you're Steve Cohen, why not go six at 200 and maybe 205, like Michael said, so it's a little bit juicier than Minnesota's deal?
And I don't know if we're ever going to find the reasons why. I mean, it's probably prudent business that the Mets are doing. But they've gone above and beyond. They've guaranteed $43.5 million for 40-year-old pitchers in a three-year deal. That didn't bother them. A three-year deal for a 40-year-old pitcher, which is what they did with Verlander. And then, obviously, what they've done previously with Scherzer. I'm not going to sit here and rip the Mets because, one thing you can't rip the Mets about anymore is they're not cheap.
Right.
There must have been something so egregious in what they found that they don't think his leg is going to hold up. By the way, for those that don't know, when he was in rookie ball with the Astros, not rookie ball, but when he's in the minor leagues, slid into third base, broke his ankle, and they have a plate in there. So they don't think that that's going to age well, that he's not going to be able to hold up. And they looked at it and said, this contract's going to take him till he's, 38, 39 years old. We just don't see it working. But as Don said, okay, so you're able to go 6 years, but it's the money that's stopping you? When the Twins, who don't have anywhere near your money, they're giving him $200 million guaranteed.
The only thing I can think, Michael, is, and there's a report out there that the Mets are going to be all in on Machado if he opts out of his deal in San Diego, which you likely think he will.
Right, and Buck has a great relationship with Machado.
So is it possible that there are some baseball people in that room that are trying to convince Steve, maybe even back to the original deal, no, don't sign Correa. Next year we can have Machado. Let Beatty play third. We'll spend all of our money in Machado during the offseason next year. And I'm just wondering if there was a divide there. And then once the ankle didn't pass the smell test, then then it just became where the powers that be among the baseball people convinced Steve Cohen, listen, let's get out of this. They make a deal that they know they're going to get beat for, so they don't look foolish by not even being in on it. They get beat out by the Twins, and then they'll just put all their chips for Machado during this next offseason. That's what I'm thinking, is that there are baseball people in his ear saying, let's get out of this. Let's not do this.
All right, so I like the way you're thinking.
Okay.
But the Mets are, in fact, a win now organization because of the age that they have in their pitching staff. So you can't just give away a year to wait for Manny Machado, because then Scherzer's a year older. Also, he can opt out. And Verlander is a year older as well. And you're getting closer to having to make a decision. What are you going to give Pete Alonso? So I get what you're saying, but they blew past the $300 million threshold because they know with the age in their pitching staff, they've got to win right now. And you cannot convince me that Carlos Correa in 2023 doesn't make the Mets that much better than they are with Brett Beatty or Escobar at third base.
Yeah.
Because, as I said last week, Don and Peter, if he joined the Mets, he's the best player on the team. He's the most dynamic player on the team. He's the biggest star on the team. Bigger than Lindor, bigger than Alonso, bigger than Verlander, bigger than Scherzer. And even Cohen said to John Heyman of the Post, this is the last piece. This is the final piece to the puzzle. Well, now you've removed that big piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
So it's very confusing. And they might have done the right thing, but why make a decision on money when all the other decisions haven't been about money?
Now, I don't think there's too many Met fans out there. We'll hear from them during the course of the show, 1-800-919-3776.
There you go.
They didn't care about the length of the contract. They want to win now. I think a lot of Met fans think like I do and like you do. All right, we've got to try to win while we still have Verlander and still have Scherzer at where they are. You know, once those guys start to go and their contracts are up and you're going to have to restart again, you know, then you don't know what is going to be, what pitchers are going to be available, what pitchers within the organization are mature. You've got the team right now. You won 101 games last year. And now you've improved on that by getting somebody that's going to give you more than 11 starts like DeGrom did in Verlander. You're coming back with Scherzer. You have improved this team, so you figure we've got a chance to win now. I don't think there were too many Met fans worried about, oh, God, I don't know, Correa may not be able to play in 2026. They're worried about 2023, 2024. And I don't think there was any question, Michael, that the first 2-3 years of that Correa contract were going to be fine physically for him. They were thinking more way down the line. Is there any Met fan that's disappointed in their chances of winning in 2027? Or are they thinking about their chances of winning right now? And you go from, no offense to Beatty, you go from Correa to Beatty at third base, then that's a big difference in the now as far as feeling better about what's going to happen 6-7 years down the road.
It's very, very interesting. I almost look at it as fascinating because the balancing act that Scott Boras had to maneuver, he needs Steve Cohen as, you know, the bellwether guy that's going to make the big bid on his free agent. So he didn't want to alienate Cohen. Cohen's probably okay then with Boras saying, listen, we have an offer from the Twins, because I think that Correa wanted to be in New York. Correa's a star. He wanted the biggest stage. That's what he deserves with that level of talent. He wanted to play for the Yankees for the longest time as well. So this is a fascinating development to me. And, you know, for those that are saying, well, you don't know if he's going to be healthy at the end of this contract, well, let me let you in on a little secret.
Here we go. I love secrets.
You think the Padres are expecting anything out of Xander Bogaerts at the end of that 12-year deal? Or are the Phillies expecting a lot out of Trey Turner at the end of the long deal that he signed? I mean, that's just the way of the world right now. Do the Yankees expect 62 home run Aaron Judge when he's 39 years old? But I mean, that's the price of doing business now. So now, because of this plate, you don't think he's going to survive 6 years?
Again, we need to get somebody on to explain it to me. You still are willing to go six.
Right.
So you match Minnesota's offer. You're willing to go six. So it's really no concern, I guess, about how long he can go in that deal, because it ends up being $42.5 million difference. Then I guess you kind of spread it over the 6 years.
So they let him go for $7 million a year.
Yeah. And again, that's a lot of money for a lot of clubs. But I thought the difference with Steve Cohen was is that, you know, you didn't care. He wanted to get the best team possibly, blew past the threshold. It seems now it's odd, after you teased your fan base that this was going to be your third baseman, that now you decide you're going to have a budget. Now you're going to be conservative when it comes to the money. Again, I'd completely understand it, guys, if they didn't want to go to 6 years. Because then that would make sense. But if, since you're willing to go 6 years, all it is money. How much, Peter, you do the math. You
go ahead.
What is $42.5 million to Cohen? What is that to him?
There has to be some sort of principle that for some reason kicked in at this point that didn't kick in prior. I really am curious.
But if you're still under the threshold, then I could say he doesn't want to go over the threshold. But he's already past the threshold.
Yeah,
it's odd. Listen, it's a win for the small market guy, right? The Minnesota Twins. We just had conversations when they first got Correa. You know, poor small market teams, poor teams that aren't owned by multi billionaires. Maybe this is a nice little win for the little guy. Maybe baseball's happy about this, that the Twins were able to keep a player that they had. But I don't know why Steve Cohen felt like he had to be that charitable.
How about this? This was broken by our very own Jeff Passan right before we went on the air.
Okay.
Trevor Story of the Red Sox. Remember, they signed him and there was concern about his arm.
Yeah.
So once they let Bogaerts go, the thought was that Trevor Story was going to end up moving from second to short because he was a shortstop with the Rockies. Well, Passan's reporting that he underwent UCL surgery with an internal brace on his right elbow. In other words, modified Tommy John surgery with a quicker return date. Generally speaking, players miss 4 to 6 months following the surgery. So the Red Sox are in a bad way. They let Bogaerts get away. They signed Devers to that big money contract, which they had to do after losing Bogarts, but they felt they had shortstop locked up by having Trevor Story move back to shortstop. Now he's not even going to be there. So they don't have a second baseman, well, and they don't have a shortstop.
Well, think about it, Mike. If it ends up being the short end, 4 months, that's May.
Right.
And that's without spring training. So you figure the minimum he could be back, the earliest he could be back, is June.
So you're saying that in some circumstances, having a player with a long-term injury might not play out great. That's what it sounds like.
I mean, also, you know, in deference to the Mets, they didn't want to get involved with the physical that they didn't like.
Well, right.
And the Red Sox did. There were questions about whether this guy's arm would hold up playing shortstop. So they said, oh, that's good. He'll play second base for us. I mean, wow.
I mean, if you're Steve Cohen right now, I mean, if you want it to be a real nozzle, I'd retweet the article, Passan's article, and be like, see what I'm talking about? Because presumably, that's what they're worried about.
All right, let's go to the phones, 1-800-919-3776. Alvin in Queens. Alvin, start it off for us.
What's going on, guys? Love the show.
Thank you, man.
Hey, listen, guys. I think we're looking at this injury totally wrong. I know you guys are talking about the back end of the deal, but what if this injury is like a lingering injury throughout those whole 6 years? Like, for instance, Don, quick question for you. You're a big Mets fan, right? But yeah. Would you like to have another David Wright in your ball club right now?
But they still offered him 6 years.
Yeah,
it's still a very large contract. So if they're that concerned about it, then get out. They got out of the contract originally, so then you're out. I'm just like San Francisco was, right? We never heard from San Francisco again after he failed his physical. They were done. They were willing to give him 13 years. They were out. If it's that much of a concern over the first 6 years, then why offer 6 years $157.5 million? Like to me, it doesn't make sense. If you're that concerned about it, then get out. Don't give the guy over $150 million and then squabble over the extra 42.
Let's go to Jim in Albany. Jim.
Hey, Michael, how you doing?
Good, Jim. How are you?
Good. Are the Mets that arrogant and Michael Kay that arrogant to think that one phone call might be able to get Carlos Correa fired?
Yeah, I guess they are. I guess they are, Jim. They are. It's amazing.
It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that. Well, I'm not even going to get into it because it's not worth it. Because if that's going to be a thing, you're more than welcome, rather than do these little stealth phone calls, have a conversation with me. Talk about whatever you want. Don't hide behind Twitter.
Wait, what did they say? What was the thing that it said on the what did it say?
Just,
Correa thoughts?
It was worth it. So, yeah. So he thinks he got in a great shot. Good for you. Good for you. Let's go to Mike in Massapequa. Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Good. How are you, Mike?
Good. I just want to give a shout-out to my buddy Nate in Queens real quick. But besides that,
Is Nate listening, Mike? Is Nate listening?
Yeah, he is. Always listening.
Hey, Nate.
Always listening.
What's up, baby?
Quality guy.
What's up, Mike?
Love Nate.
Nate's the best there is.
All right, good.
So I think you guys are – listen, I know it's win now for him, but maybe Cohen is also looking a little more long-term, even though he's not always been doing it. And like you're saying, maybe Machado next year. So now it's helping the now because it's not immediate. But it's still the near future, mm-hmm. And then now you're looking better long-term, too, because, listen, he doesn't want to throw all his eggs in the next 2-3 years and then kind of be stuck for the next five. But he could be going long-term and short-term and waiting for Machado.
But again, they were willing to give him 6 years, $157.5 million, so they were more than, like, knee-deep in the water. They were in. They were swimming in the deep end. They allowed the Minnesota Twins to go to 200, and then they decided, no, that's too rich for my blood. Steve Cohen, too rich for his blood? Again, if it's concern about injury, then don't offer him six. But if you're offering him 6 years, I know this is a lot of money to you and me, but not a lot of money to Steve Cohen. Now he's found religion on money after spending all that money in the offseason. They lose out on the best player, one of the best players in baseball, for $7 million a year for a guy that prints money? I just find it weird that now all of a sudden he decided to have a budget.
Let's go to Leonard in Orange County. Leonard.
Hey, how you doing, Michael, Don, and Peter? I'm loving the show so far. Don, I hear what you're saying with the 6 years, but I might have the reason. So it's, in my opinion, it might not just be black and white. It might be a gray area where, like, he's not, like, fully worried. Let's say you call it, he's, like, 50% worried about Correa's ankle. So, like, he's not really willing to – he's looking at the risk-reward assessment factor, and he's like, I'm not willing to go all out and put in $40 million a year, but, you know, just in case, I'll do 2025. What do you think about that?
But – yeah, I would. I see what you're saying, Leonard. But this is a man where money is no object.
Yeah. What is the benefit? Obviously, you're saving a few million dollars, but he's already blown past the threshold. If this was keeping him under the threshold, Michael, then I'd understand strategically why that would work.
Right.
You've already blown past the threshold, so now it's just a matter of I don't want to be on the hook for $7 extra million if this guy breaks down early. I don't think anybody's worried he's going to break down this year, Michael, or the year after. But if it ends up being, Michael, let's say they give him 6 years and he's no good for four, five, and six of the contract.
Right.
That's $21 million to Steve Cohen. Somebody's got to explain to me why that would even blink over losing that.
Yeah, it's a little odd. Maybe they offered him the 6 year because a lot of people think that if Boris wanted to be really hard-edged, because of the quote to Heyman, Cohen is almost on the hook for that original contract. He said, you know, you're never supposed to say that. Owners know never to say that. That's why whenever a team announces a contract, pending a physical.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But for Cohen to come out and say, this was the last piece, we got the last piece that we needed, that could be used in any kind of arbitration case. So maybe they offered him the six because they knew their six-year deal was out there, and they made it enough of an offer that he would turn it down. Because it's all about average annual value, and the average annual value, I believe, only trails Francisco Lindor for shortstops, and by a little bit. Mm. So, I mean, there's probably parts of this that we don't even know what's going on. I think it goes deeper into just... you know, what the eye sees, let's put it that way.
Is it possible also he's just really connected and spoke to medical people who the Giants didn't speak to who are like, hey, dude, trust me, this is not good. And he's just like, you know what, I'm setting a limit here because he's not what I thought it was, and that's that.
Yeah, but I hear what you're saying, but then why hold ceremony on $7 million a year? So
you have to draw a line somewhere. That's what business people do.
But then don't even offer him a contract. You know, the Giants did that. The Giants walked away.
Yeah, the Giants walked away.
And, you know, the Twins... you know, they got him for a lot cheaper than, you know, the original offer they had on the table was 10 years, 285. So they get him for 6 years, $200 million. Also, there's vesting options. Here's what happened last year that might have people a little spooked. He slid into third base and was in a lot of pain. And he said after the game, I'm fine, but I have a plate in my ankle and it was vibrating. And I got a little nervous and then it stopped and everything is cool. Well, maybe they looked at the MRI and said, this isn't cool. It's not going to last. It's been in there a long time, and it can't, you know, maybe doctors say they're not supposed to be in there that long, and all the stress and tension that he puts on that foot. But he offered him 6 years.
Right. Then walk away like San Francisco did. But he stayed in. Stayed in a long time.
Right.
6 years, 157.5. That's not nothing. There's a possibility he didn't know what Minnesota was going to do. I mean, you might have him right now if Minnesota didn't want to go that high. They went to 200 because they probably figured, Michael, that Cohen was going to counter. Because why did they go as high as 200?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Mets are a really good team, and they did really good things during this offseason. They kept a 100-win team together. They got a Cy Young Award winner. They got Quintana, who happens to be excellent as well. They got Senga, who everything I've heard about him, he could be really, really good. Your pitching staff is stout. You brought back Edwin Diaz. Would Carlos Correa have been the cherry on top? Absolutely. But this is a really good team. Still a really good team, no matter who you put at third base. So you could feel disappointed. I was talking to some Met fans. They're not mad. They're disappointed. Okay,
yeah.
Be disappointed. But this doesn't, like, 86 your season.
No, it doesn't 86 your season. But, you know, Steve Cohen said that this was the final piece.
Right.
And now you don't have it. And listen, they might get Machado next year, but you make an excellent point. You know, another year older for Scherzer, another year older for Verlander. You know, so you know, you never know what you might need. You're in one of the best, if not the best, divisions in the sport, right? I mean, the Braves keep marching on. Philadelphia went to the World Series last year. You know, so it's disappointing. There's nobody to be mad at. You're still happy that Steve Cohen's your owner. You're still happy where the Mets are right now. You're disappointed because you felt like you got one of the best players in baseball to play third base, and now you don't have him.
Well, it looks like John Heyman is reporting that the Mets wanted to have constant physicals. The Mets were willing to fully guarantee the first 6 years, but that would be 157.5, and they proposed new conditions that Correa's camp saw as more difficult to reach, involving not just plate appearances, but time in the field. While the Mets' newly configured deal might still have been called a potential 315 for 12, the last 6 years, just like the Twins' deal, would have been less than fully guaranteed. One difference in the Twins and Met deal is that Correa, who had a 5.4 WAR last year when he hit 291 with 22 home runs in Minnesota, will be paid at the rate of $33.3 million by the Twins in the six guaranteed, while he would have been paid $26.25 in the Mets' offer. Mets sought to redo the deal following the physical as they saw significant risk in later years or down the road. Cohen was said to be involved in talks in recent days, though the equation changed from the morning of the agreement when Cohen told the Post, "We needed one more thing and this is it." So there you have it. I think the lawyers got involved, and I think Billy Epler got involved.
But we're also talking about a difference of 200 as opposed to 157.5.
Right.
That's different.
So why did the Twins go as high as 200 then? They must have thought that the Mets were going to counter.
But I look at the Twins this way. In order for the Twins to get a player of this ilk, there has to be something that's a gamble. And they're willing to take a gamble. Now, the Pollard family, who owns the Twins, they're extraordinarily wealthy. But most rich men and women that own professional sports teams, they are not spending their fortune. They're not looking to lose money in order to win. So can the market in Minnesota support Carlos Correa? Well, last year he signed a 3-year, $105 million deal. So they're getting him for about the same thing, and he had a great year last year. So the Twins are saying, we'll roll the dice on 6 years. The Mets, for some reason, don't want to do it. Mm. Let's go to Mark in Syosset.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How you doing?
Great, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I think it's a myriad of things. I think it's partly the fact that it's a risk-benefit, and he's a businessman, and he's going to make a business decision. I think a part of it is what Don may have touched on earlier, which may have to do with next year and Machado and what he wants to do at third base with Machado, and that made a lot of sense to me. But I think there's also something else that involved why make the offer, because you have a relationship with Scott Boras, and as much as Boras may need Stevie Cohen, I think Steve Cohen needs Scott Boras for the future as well. Mm-hmm. So to just pull out and do nothing made no sense. So if you assess all the risks and put that whole together, it saves face with Steve Cohen. Saves face with Scott Boras, and it gives them an opportunity. And nobody knew the Twins were coming in with a $200 million contract offer either.
Right. Yeah, but I would think that because, Mark, you make a lot of sense, the relationship between Scott and Cohen – and the fact that Correa really wants to play in New York, wouldn't he have come back with the Twins' offer and say, all right, top this. We're at 6 years, $200 million. I don't think he's going to play games behind the back of Steve Cohen because they both need each other.
And guys, if you're concerned about the ankle and you want Manny Machado, you can't make the offer because what if he accepted it?
Right.
If he accepted it, let's say he wanted to play in New York so bad, you know what? I'm turning down the $200 million in Minnesota. I'm going to take the $157.5 in New York because I want to be in New York. I want to be on Broadway. And if he accepts the money, then bye-bye Machado. Well, now you've got all the concerns under contract guaranteed for the next 6 years. So, no, you can't just flippantly say, well, they wanted to keep Boris on the hook and they wanted to keep the relationship. Michael, anytime you throw out an offer, there's a chance it could be accepted.
Yeah,
you can't take that risk.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to figure out. James Despo, who listens,
great guy,
on 98.7, said it's his Nana's 75th birthday today. She listens all the time.
Nana.
So her name is Camille.
Camille, happy birthday, Camille.
Happy birthday, Camille.
Happy birthday, Camille.
Yeah, there you go. Let's go back to the phone calls. Let's go to Winston in Manhattan. Winston.
Good afternoon, guys. Thank you for taking my call. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Before I make my comment in regard to Carlos Correa and the Mets, can I just say something, Michael K?
Sure.
Why are you so thin-skinned in regard to going after a little person in the morning, the producer of the show in the morning for your own radio station, that you are threatened to call somebody so he can get fired? But
well,
let me go to my point
now. Let me answer, yeah. Winston. All right, you're going to throw a broad swipe like that. That's cool. Listen, I didn't call for anybody's job. I mean, in case you know it, talk radio is somewhat performative. Was I ticked off that Ray said that? Yeah, I didn't think it was a cool thing to say. But I never went to anybody, any of my superiors here, and said, I want this guy disciplined. Absolutely not. It's all part of the back and forth with the morning show.
Everybody's, and that is great.
And everybody's taking it so seriously as if I tried to get somebody fired. Listen, I wouldn't try, and I wouldn't do it on the air.
Yeah,
I'd go behind the scenes. That's the way to do it. But what I did on the air was, I'm not going to admit it. You're right. One thing you said, Winston, I am thin-skinned. And so I will let you make your Met point. Let me finish. I'm just saying,
at
no point, Peter and Don could attest to this, did I ever, ever try to get anybody to lose their job. I've known Ray 15 years. Did he tick me off? Yes, he did. But I would never try to lose anybody their job. Ever. Listen, you know what bothers me the most, Winston? I'm glad that you brought this up for me to bring it up. I don't want to play this role anymore. I'm too nice a guy in real life. I'm not going to be that jerk. I'm not going to be a jerk. So, yeah, was I trying to juice the whole thing up? Absolutely. I'm too nice a guy to be portrayed the way I am. And people that have met me could say the same thing. Listen, people want to have fun with this, have fun with it. It's all part of it. It's all part of it. I can't back down from what I said. I said it.
Right.
I'm too decent a guy to be portrayed that way. Go, Winston. What do you got?
Okay, and I appreciate your clarification, because if it's part of the banter back and forth and also to make it seem that you were real in threatening it, that I'm all for it, because that's great radio right there. And I appreciate, the way you explain it, because I know you're thin-skinned, but I didn't know that you were that thin-skinned. Well, anyway,
very thin-skinned, Winston. Very. It's a problem.
All right. So my point in regard to Carlos Correa is, if the Mets did this, obviously it was for medical reason.
Right.
But if they did this in order to looking ahead for Shohei Ohtani next year, then I'm all for it. All for it. I don't care if they don't win next year, but I'm looking forward to see if they put a big offer, which it have to be big, for Shohei Ohtani in next year or the following year. So that's all I have to say.
You know what, Winston? I believe that they desire Ohtani. Billy Epler has a great relationship with Ohtani. He's the one who got him to Anaheim. He was the GM when they won the bidding and convinced him to play for the Angels. So that's a $50 million expenditure, guys. But again, it's Steve Cohen. So if he signed Carlos Correa, he'd be out, because they've always had their eyeballs on Ohtani, Don. So they made a 12-year offer to Correa to pay him a lot of money, and they still knew that they were going to make a $50 million plus offer to Ohtani.
Right.
Forget about Machado. I think Ohtani is somebody they really want. Every team does.
I think that was still going to be in play no matter what. But if it's like, well, we rather have Machado, then why did you make the offer to Correa in the first place? You were off the hook. He failed his physical. All right, we're moving on to Machado. We'll figure it out this year, and we'll go out and get Machado. You don't offer them 6 years, over $150 million, and the plan is, well, we want Machado anyway. What if he took the offer? Then you'd have no place to play Machado. So I really don't know why the 42.5 was a breaking point for Steve Cohen. I still need somebody to explain that to me.
Well, I hope that somebody, all these great reporters, and I'll be digging to see if I could find out, why was that the line of demarcation that you would not cross? Because as Don said, you make an offer, he might take it. He had such a desire to play in New York on the big stage and to play next to Lindor. Maybe he takes it. So you're okay with losing $26 million a year, but not 33. Steve Cohen, who has works of art in his front yard that you put all of us together, we couldn't even afford a down payment on it. So he goes out and gets what he wants. Did he really want this guy? Was the injury that bad? But again, you're willing to blow $157 million, but not $200. That's where all of us are kind of losing the thought process.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be explained, but that's what makes it somewhat curious.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
If you just joined us, Correa has signed with the Twins. So the Met deal and the Giant deal both went away. So over $600 million in contracts gone away because of the Giants and the Mets seeing something on that physical that they did not like, that they simply did not like. Let's go to Vincent in Bridgewater. Vincent. Hey, Vin.
Hi, how are you? I really don't agree with Correa staying with the Twins because, I mean, the Mets, they really could spend all that money, but I just don't see why he chooses to play a sport where he plants his feet in dirt and chews gum all day.
Well, good call. I'm glad you held on for that, Vin.
I don't understand.
Nobody understands except Vincent, who thought that was clever. Let's go to Doug in Huntington. Doug?
Oh, hey, it's Dove. How you doing, guys?
Dove.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey.
What's up?
It's okay. I just wanted to give a call. So one factor, I heard you briefly touch on it, but I think it's super important here when we're trying to figure out the meaning behind this.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets specified that he would have to go through an annual physical, which would make his contract annually contingent upon that physical. That is a huge difference. I think it was either John Heyman or Bob Nightingale who had reported that, mm-hmm. and they called it unprecedented.
Yeah, but Doug, from what I understand, I did hear that. But the 157 was guaranteed no matter what. I think after that.
It was annual. It was after?
Yeah, I think it was after the 6 years because the Twins also have like $70 more million there that is contingent upon certain things. But like you said, what the Mets are asking was unprecedented. So none of that money would mean anything because he'd have to go to a physical. But the first 6 years, I think, were rock solid.
I think an important part of that, too, if we're going to think about this from Scott Boras's standpoint, would he ever want to set a precedent where an annual physical is going to be in a contract?
Great point. Nope.
Ever.
Nope. By the way, Dove, you should be in the business. Yes. You have a nice voice.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
What do you do for a living?
I'm actually in sales. Would you believe that? I work in laser sales.
You sell lasers?
I do. I work with lasers, laser repair, like cosmetic, medical, that kind of a deal.
I've been looking for
nothing to blow up the planet.
I've been looking for a laser recently. I need
some, cosmetic laser stuff too.
Peter's thinking about.
I'll tell you what. We'll put together a day. I'll come into the studio. I'll give you an entire presentation, and I'll bring you guys a lot.
I'd enjoy listening to it.
You know what? The way you present it, I like the cut of your jib. So thank you for calling in, Dove. I appreciate it. And that is certainly provocative when you consider. If they want to have a physical every single year, I mean,
would
the physical only like kill the contract if it was the ankle? What if something else came up on the physical?
What if at some point, I don't know, you didn't trust the team anymore and they wanted a way out and all of a sudden your physical's no good?
That's why they're afraid of that sort of stuff.
Of course.
Because you don't know who to trust because they could say, oh, look at this. So, that's why you don't want a physical every single year. Mm. But you know what you want every single year? You want Super Box Bonanza.
Super Box Bonanza.
Yeah.
I want the drop.
What drop?
The
Super Box Bonanza. Yeah. Superbox Bonanza 2023. Now, this year, each of the 100 qualifiers, because you've seen a Super Bowl box, right?
I sure have.
100 boxes.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. They'll take home huge prizes.
Yeah.
Humongo prizes, solo stoves, Beat headphones, Billy Joel tickets, Amex gift cards, and much more. Every box gets a prize and the chance to win the big prize. So be caller number 5 at 888-987-ESPN right now to select a box for the big game with a chance to win thousands of dollars.
Sure, Peter. Thousands, yeah.
Yeah. And the grand prize final score wins a trip to Bimini, Bahamas, plus $2,000 cash. I'm also hearing Peter will be there, and he's agreed that in Bimini, he will wear a Speedo.
Superbox Bonanza!
And it's all brought to you by Bartesian Premium Home Cocktail Makers, Sloman's, Resorts World Bimini in the Bahamas, PC Richard and Son.
Sure.
Grand Marnier.
Oh, yeah.
And 98.7 ESPN New York. Don, have you ever worn a Speedo?
No, but all I keep picturing, because I
watched it like porn.
I would imagine his legs are as furry as his chest and his shoulders and everything else. The only image I have is like the shorts that the gorilla wears, the dunks.
Well, you've seen me wear shorts. I've worn shorts in
here.
He
doesn't have inordinately hairy legs, though.
I mean, they're hairy, but you've seen them.
But they're not arm hairy like.
No, the arm stands out more.
Because those look like, you know, elbow gloves.
By the way, these hairy arms spent about a solid 10 minutes on the national championship game last night before deciding this is why the sport is crap and changing the channel.
That was bad.
I understand people think I'm a moron and you hate me for not liking the sport. Just admit this. Last night wasn't a glorious night for the sport. 65-7?
It wasn't a glorious night for Michigan.
It wasn't a glorious night for Michigan. It was not a glorious night for college football. I mean, it was a glorious night for, I'm sure, a lot of bettors who just pounded the favorite. Why not? But, I mean, it was a putrid. It wasn't even like a game where you thought,
no,
for fun, they could make it interesting.
It was funny when Herb Street, who's excellent on the air, I don't know what to say. I didn't know what to say. Like, you know, he's trying to, like, build up that, you know, they'll make a run in the second half. But there was no.
No, you at this point, you at a certain point have to treat it like you're doing a Manning cast and you're just chatting because there's no game to call anymore.
And you know what? Just call the game that it's a destruction. How great Georgia is, that's all. You can't say it's a competitive game. It wasn't after like 10 minutes.
So I, for the record, I don't enjoy the beginning of the college season because it seems like there are all these matchups where you have big conference teams playing against little jabronis and the score is like 65-7 every week. And then very often you get to the national championship game. And granted, this is a different circumstance now the way the college football playoff's done, and TCU being there is interesting, absolutely. But in the end, I still feel like there have been so many nights where when I tune into this game, the biggest game of the year, the one that they wait an extra 10 days to have, it sucks. I mean, I know our company does very well with the game. Remember, I even did one of the alternate broadcasts of the game before.
Yeah.
I've gotten hyped for it many times. It's just my personal memories as a sports fan is usually coming away feeling disappointed. Now, by the way, there was a period where the Super Bowl felt like that too.
Right.
And the Super Bowl was not very good. But now recently, for the last 15 years or so, Super Bowl is generally a great game.
And they're going to make the college football playoffs more teams. And I think that the more playoff games you have, Don, you will weed out if TCU is, in fact, a fraud.
You would think, but you'd also maybe adding a couple of more teams that don't belong there.
Yeah, so but Alabama would have been in.
And Don, if you're able to go on a run through multiple rounds, you're not a fraud.
Right, you're good enough.
You just won multiple playoff games.
You'd like to see that. But, you know, when you talk about the system, last night was garbage. There's no quite. Nobody could defend it. But you did get two amazing games on New Year's Eve.
You did.
So the playoff system works because you still, out of the three games you had in the playoff system, right, Michael, two were absolute classics.
No, they were great to watch. Yep.
And you had a dog. And I think everybody kind of knew this happens in the NCAA tournament, usually not in the championship game, but we always get excited about Cinderella. But at some point, Cinderella's pumpkin or the chariot turns back into a pumpkin, carriage turns back into a pumpkin in a horrific way. And that's
The chariot turned back into a pumpkin. Someone stomped on the pumpkin and kicked it off a mountain and set it on fire. That's what happened last night.
Hey, congratulations to Steven from Old Bridge. He picked his box, and he won the Bartesian Cocktail Maker, which is great. And now he's got an opportunity to win the big prize. And there's several prizes for first quarter, third quarter, halftime.
You're talking about our
Superbox Bonanza.
I'm proud to be associated with it.
When you hear like that, that's what you think.
Yeah, I mean, everything about it is just stupendous.
Looks like Peter's got access to that.
I do. I do have that. Because it's ridiculous. It's Brownshire just screaming in an insane voice with one little sound effect at the end.
Amazing.
I love it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.